It's Reggie ATL Sports Talk with Eugene Morton coming to you from the lovely sunny city of Atlanta, Georgia. How's it going, Eugene?
It's going well. How about you?
Cannot complain at all, my friend. We've got some good weather coming around here from the frigid winter. Winter's my least favorite season, man. I'm a tropical guy.
Okay.
I like the great weather, and with it brings some baseball here. Now, Eugene, you're a bigger baseball fan than I am. You are going to lead this show. I'm gonna follow along with you.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the Braves, talk about some I want to talk about some spending in baseball.
Okay.
In comparison to some of the other leagues and how important that is. But we will definitely start here in Atlanta. Ronald Acuña Jr. just signed for $100 million, I think, right?
$100 million, yep, and 8-year deal. But he also could take that over. It could take it over because he has two option years.
Mm-hmm. So it could go to 10?
Yeah, 10 years, and the option years are $17 million. So yeah, that could be nice. Nice little, and then hey, if Bryson want to keep him, they got to pay him $10 million to get out of those deals.
And he was Rookie of the Year last year?
He was Rookie of the Year. And he only played in 111 games because they do that whole service time where they hold a player back like the first couple weeks.
Before they start him?
Before they start him.
Why? What is that?
So it's a way to, that way you have more years of control with a player.
Okay, so I don't get it. How does that work?
So they're supposedly not supposed to do it, but they always get around it going, oh, well, we think this player A is better than player B. So player A is usually some veteran guy, right? That you're going to sign for whatever the minimum. And he starts the season as you're starting whatever, say, left fielder.
Okay.
So then you bring Ronald Acuña up in 2 to 3 weeks. And that way you have an extra, I think, 2 or 3 years of where you're not having to, you can do arbitration years where we're saying you're worth this. You tell us what you're worth and it goes to a hearing and, you know, the arbitrator decides if the Braves are right or if the, you know, the player's agent's correct. And
wow.
Yep.
Wow.
But here's the funny thing about that is, so the idea, right, is not to lose that player and have more control over that player.
Mm-hmm.
So the Angels didn't do that with Mike Trout. He re-signed with them so the Angels extended to him before the arbitration years. And then obviously we know what happened as well. He had 2 years left on a deal, you know, maybe could have left, but loved Anaheim and still re-signed. So there's some signs that it's not really benefiting anybody, you know, other than obviously the team. And so I'll be interested to see when the new labor agreement comes up, if that goes away. Because I think the new labor agreement is going to be up on 2020 or 2021.
Wow.
So we'll have to see what happens then.
Well, I'm looking at his stats here. It's a 293 average.
Yep.
26 home runs, 64 ribbies, 78 runs scored, 16 stolen bases in only 111 games. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Dude is definitely a five-tool player.
Really? So you are pretty happy now, and looks pretty affordable contract.
Yeah. I mean, you're what? You're only, that's at 12.5 annually.
He's like what? 19?
Yeah. He'll be 31 if he goes the full 10 years of this contract when he gets out. So I think he's 2021 or just turned 21. So don't know if he can legally buy a drink yet, but yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're only, like you said, 12 and a half million annually. That's not hurting your payroll. And we know as the market increases, you're still getting this guy at a bargain, because you know as the market increases every year for professional sports, especially baseball,
you're kind of locked in at this
12.5. And
so I see the 2 years as 17. Is that on the back end?
Yeah, those are the back end.
So that's past. So we have the 8. That's pretty much going to get you to roughly the $100 million, and then he has 2 more option years at the 17. Is that those team options?
Yeah, those are team options. Yeah.
Okay. That looks pretty good to me. Very team friendly contract, as a matter of fact. But if you're a rookie, and I heard he was making maybe $1 million a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a significant raise for you. You know, and if you like the area and you like being in Atlanta, they're definitely glad to have you.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because I've seen this done once before when I lived in Tampa. They did this with Evan Longoria. But Evan was, he was up for 2 or 3 weeks, and then the race signed him to, I want to say the extension. I didn't do it. I should have done some research, but it was like a 10-year extension right then. Mm-hmm. It was like 10 years, but I think like the first six were like, were guaranteed, and like the last 7, 8, 9, 10 or something, like they were option years. Mm-hmm. But they, so they did the same exact thing. So they, the, there was rumors that the Braves were trying to do that last year with him, and he didn't do it. Like they were trying to do something similar to this contract. So I don't know what changed, what his mindset changed, that maybe he didn't, maybe he wanted to see what the full season was in Atlanta. And now, so now he's deciding to stay.
So how does baseball work? Is it like rookie contracts the same and similar to other sports where they have a certain, where they 3, 4, 5 years type situation, or is it a situation where they can just play a year or two and just leave?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the thing. So you've got the rookie contracts for so many years, but then you still have control of that player, because then you do go to arbitration. Mm-hmm. So
they can't just leave?
They can't just leave.
Really?
No.
Is that baseball in general?
Baseball in general, yeah. Then I think I'm trying to think. So when was Bryce? Bryce was with Washington for 4 or 5 years. The teams have a good control of a player for almost 5 seasons.
Okay. And that's very similar actually to like NFL and stuff like that. Because those contracts 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
They have that player and they have them on a deal. And with football now, it seems to be that's when you kind of make your run for the chip, because you get a cheap quarterback. If it's a good quarterback, you get him cheap, put some great expensive free agents around him. Voila, you're in contention. With the Braves here, the thing is that's depressed me about them as of late is the lack of exciting free agent signings. When I saw this and looking at the stats and everything, I'm pretty happy about it. I was happy about the Donaldson signing, even though he's not, same Donaldson he used to be.
Yeah.
But I was still happy to see they signed somebody.
Yeah, 2015 MVP. I mean, that's nothing to tease at, but he's had some injuries the last couple of years. But then you go and get Nick Markakis. I mean, yeah, he was great the first half of the year, but his numbers dipped. And Brian McCann, I mean, your catcher's like, if you're trying, if you're signing a 35 plus year old catcher, it's kind of like in the NFL. Let's go sign a 30-year-old running back.
I think that's a little bit too of him being from here before, Brian McCann was such a great player when he played for us on that first run. I think he went to the Yankees after that, I want to say.
He did.
But he was such a great player that I think that that's a little bit of nostalgia coming back into play there as well.
It is. But it's just like, we had a good catching duo last year when we did bring back Tyler Flowers, but then we let Kurt Suzuki go to Washington. If you got two good guys, I don't like the catching studs are, I think it's a myth right now. So we don't have, you're not going to have the Pudge Rodriguez's anymore usually.
Right.
You're not going to have, who is a Piazza. So now it's kind of like the NFL. Like
comes back. I wonder, huh?
What's that?
I wonder if that ever comes back. Interesting point you bring up.
It does. I think it goes in waves. The running back thing isn't going to, lie dormant forever, right?
Right.
We're going to have some star running backs come back. I think the same thing with the catcher. But right now, how it isn't currently, why not just keep, if you have two good serviceable catchers, I feel like resign that one catcher again. I mean, I like McCann.
But do you feel like he's being paid too much? What's your issue with it?
He's getting paid. I mean, it's a very team-friendly contract. It's just, I don't think he's going to produce.
I see.
Yeah, that's all.
So we have, Scott Kazmir.
Well, so what I was talking, so this is kind of more as you and how you were talking about payroll and spending. And so obviously there's no salary cap.
Yeah, there's no hard cap.
No hard cap in baseball. But they do have a luxury tax.
Absolutely.
So the luxury tax is supposed to, if a team goes over, it goes to those lower tier teams so they can invest in players.
Yeah, and try to even the playing field.
Right. But what's been happening lately with teams where they're going, okay, well, what we're going to, and even like these lower tier teams, what they've been doing is just spending enough money to not have the players union file grievance against the team. Okay. So, and that's what I feel like the Braves are doing here. Last year, obviously, was kind of a remarkable year. It was kind of weird.
Fascinating, to be honest with you. I had never, given the 2017 season, I never expected the 2018 season to be this good.
Right. So we were a year above projections, right? We were supposed to be kind of like maybe a 500, maybe below 500 team last year. Mm-hmm. So, but we definitely excelled. But with the contracts, so what the Braves did was they traded away Matt Kemp to the Dodgers. And that, so
did
Matt
that
Kemp,
just happen this year?
No, no, that happened in 2018.
Yeah, okay.
That happened in 2018. But what they did...
And Matt Kemp came from the Dodgers. Sorry to keep you interrupting.
No.
But Matt Kemp came from the Dodgers first, right?
Yes.
Okay, and he just went back to the Dodgers.
Yeah, he just went back. So what they essentially did, Matt Kemp had 2 years left on his deal.
Uh-huh.
So they pretty much swapped dead contracts, right? So they said, we'll take Kazmir and we'll take Gonzalez from you because they had 1 year left. You take Kemp, he had 2 years left on that deal.
So just to try to get off the books a year early.
Yeah. Perfect, right? They did that. Like I said, you essentially had 17 million of, dead money coming off your books. And that's why you see in 2018 the payroll was $130 million.
Right.
So you're thinking, oh, great, let's go out and maybe sign a Craig Kimball or Dallas Cable or Cable. But here we are, only spending $114 million in salary.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, it was a fun season last year. It was great. It was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But in that playoffs against the Dodgers, they were one bad ball slash strike call that should have been a strike from being swept by the Dodgers. So everyone watched that and go, okay, it was great. We made it to playoffs, but we need to add some pieces.
Right.
And in my opinion, the Braves didn't do that this season. They didn't do it at all in the offseason.
So who are our marquee signings for this year so far?
You're looking at it. So you're looking at Josh.
The re-signing of Ronald, right? Ronald Acuna Jr.
If you want to count that, we'll count there.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. That's not exactly an addition. That's just a staying kind of where he's already here.
He was already awesome. We knew that. But we signed. So the day after free agency started or the day of, they signed Josh Donaldson. And everyone got excited, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I was excited.
I know, everyone. And then it was nothing after that.
Right.
It was nothing. And then we had the Brian McCann, which was okay. Then I think right before spring training started, they signed Nick Markakis. And it's like, these are the guys we're expecting to compete in National League East. And if you look at the rest of the teams, I mean, the Mets, like you had mentioned this before we got on the call on our podcast, was Ronald Acuna. And they added they got Edwin Diaz from Seattle. That dude is like a flamethrower, relief pitcher. He's a young guy. He's had some injury issues, but man, he can be like a closer at some point in his life.
Right.
And then the Nationals, I mean, they just went and just, they knew. I think they kind of knew they weren't going to get Bryce Harper, but they added some great pieces. The Patrick Corbin was a great pickup, Jeremy Hellickson. So they're trying to rebalance out their starting rotation, and they've got some, they already have some good hitters already.
Well, can we stay with the Nationals for a second?
Sure.
I heard a story, and this was actually on First Take, and I don't know if you are familiar with the story, that the Nationals didn't exactly give Bryce Harper a great contract offer. They said it was a decent offer, but it wasn't a great offer.
No.
So why would you not give a great player a great offer?
I don't get it. I don't get it either. I mean, that's another reason why. And I think you and I are talking about favorite sports is why I'm getting kind of fed up with baseball is there's certain nitpick on players of trying to find reasons not to sign it. And then what they'll do is they'll put out something in the media going, oh, Bryce Harper was like this in the clubhouse.
Right.
And,
to try to drive down,
his value. And I can't stand it.
I don't like it either.
It's so petty. And so you heard a lot of the narrative after, like when he was going around free agency, like Bryce Harper does this. And the same thing was with Machado. If I had to hear or see that one scene, oh, Machado doesn't hustle. I'm sorry, 162 ball games. There's sometimes you're not going to hustle. This is not going to happen.
Agreed.
I'm sorry. 82 games in a basketball season. Some guys aren't going to play defense all 48 minutes. This is not going to happen.
And this, we're talking about
162 games.
162. That's unbelievable.
So you got that narrative, and it just gets old, in my opinion.
Now let's talk about the Phillies for
a second.
Look
at the Phillies. Look what they did. The only thing with the Phillies, so I think the Nationals have, they've added some, obviously they have better starting pitching, but look at the Phillies just added some monsters with obviously Bryce being the just obviously the table setter, but Andrew McCutchen, and they added a JT Realmuto, if I can pronounce his name right, and they added a great relief pitcher in Dave Robertson. So I mean they've got, again, they're starting pitching. It'll telltale them, and when it gets down to end of the season. But again, they could ask somebody during free agency. I'm sorry, not free agency, during the trade deadline. They could go out and pick up a pitcher. And there's still a couple free agency pitchers out there. So,
well, pitching is one of those things that if you let everybody digs the long ball, and everybody wants to see all the home runs. However, when you get to the postseason, pitching is so important, and bullpen depth is so important.
Right,
there are some of these teams that are barely getting out of games. It doesn't bode well when that same team has to play, because you know these are 7-game series. Once you get to the later series leading up to the World Series, you're playing a 7-game series, right?
Yeah.
You got to try to find a way to get through at least 4 of these games. And it's hard to try to finesse that. You got to think about leaving pitchers in too long if you want them on this day.
Right.
You know, and it's something that definitely becomes more apparent towards the later end of the season, you know, when we get towards August, September, October-ish areas where it becomes really apparent. You have the Braves going 83-79. That's barely 500.
Well, I mean, just look what they just haven't, unless they bring somebody, if they do something in the trade deadline, or maybe if they pick up, I mean, like I said, I would really love them to pick up Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell.
Kimbrell,
thank you. God, I cannot pronounce his name for some reason. I would love to see them. I mean, what would it hurt to pick them up for 2 or 3 years? Now, I don't know where the price ranges they're at, but we saw in the Philadelphia series, like all of our starting pitchers are injured, and we're trying to throw young guys out there, and they got swept by Philly because they look like a lesser team. Now, again, they came back and they took they swept the Cubs, and then it looks like they're going to take 2 or 3 from the Marlins if they beat the Marlins today. So, but again, they're beating lower talented teams right now, in my opinion.
So I see a funny note here you have here on our show prep says the Braves management still thinks or treats fans like it's 1995.
Yes.
According to an interview here in Atlantic.
Again, before free agency had started, the general manager had come out and said, yeah, I could pretty much shop in any aisle. And so when fans were getting near the end of free agency, we know weren't spending money. Players were getting upset. Basketball Twitter is just as fun as baseball Twitter. You know, Braves Twitter is just, and so you can follow that, and there's that, you can go down that rabbit hole. People were questioning what they were doing. So in the Atlantic, they came out and they were just, the Braves, they get upset. They feel like that fans don't know how to abstract. They feel like the, you know, hey, we can't take a number and go, hey, look at this. Why are we here when we've always been a mid-market? You know, we're not going to be the Boston, the Red Sox, or the Yankees, but we've always kind of been that mid-market range when we spend a payroll.
Uh-huh.
What's the issue now? And they're backtracking a lot of stuff. They're like, okay, well, we still have to pay for some construction for the battery, the whole area down there. And it's just like,
I don't like when off the field expenses cut into our on the field
right
expenses.
Exactly. They feel like they don't have to explain themselves. And they've always kind of had that mentality. And it just stems from, you've got the same management in there. You still have got Schurholz. You still got, you still got these pieces. And I love Bobby Cox, but you still got some of these people influencing the organization that had been there, I think, too long.
Well, that's because it's the glory years.
Yeah.
You know how that is. We were Braves legendary around that time. And I definitely wanted to get into a little bit of baseball payrolls, because when you look at the payroll that we had last year, 130 mil versus the one we have this year, 114 million dollars. We are actually about $20 million below league average. League average this year is 133 mil. it seems like some of these teams are buying or purchasing championships, purchasing at least championship runs. Now, what baseball will tell you is the Red Sox and the Yankees are always going to be at the top of this list. Mm-hmm. You know, I think even this year, the Red Sox are spending the most. So the Red Sox are spending $223 million this year, ooh, Eugene. Over $100 million more than the Braves.
Right. And here, I just want to spend 30. Just add a little extra 30, get us a closer, get us a starting pitcher. That's all I want.
Listen, we could spend that 30, but we got to work on a parking deck.
Yeah, we got to get a parking deck done. Got to make sure the battery. Got to
get a few more restaurants in.
Got to pay those labor dues.
We'll see what happens. The lowest team, so Boston Red Sox, the top team, but the top three are spending over $500 million. So the top three is Boston at 223, Chicago Cubs at 210, and the Yankees at 208. So those are the top three spending teams. Now, the lower three, the Braves are 21 on this list, by the way, 21 out of 30.
Okay.
So we're definitely in the lower tier.
Yeah.
The lower third of the list for, I don't know really why. But the lower three teams aren't spending what the top team is spending. So the lower three teams are, we'll start from the third to the lowest, Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
The Orioles are spending 72.
And they're rebuilding. So we'll give them a pass because they're in the tank mode. They're where the Braves were at like probably 5 years ago.
Wow. So Miami Marlins. And well, the last two teams seem to always stay here. Miami and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Now tell me something here, Eugene. You're a person who's from Florida.
Yeah.
What is up? Not necessarily with the Marlins because they had Stanton for a while. And the Rays go in and out of being contenders. They always seem to be on the lower end of the spending list. Why do you think that is?
Because nobody goes to the games.
Oh,
Florida
really?
is a football city, a football town. I'm sorry, football state. Yeah. And Tampa is just, first of all, the ballpark is horrible. It's been there for, I want to say over 30 years. It's one of the worst ballparks, and they can't seem to, they try and get a new stadium, but trying to get the city involved, they can't get any headway between the team wants the new stadium. They signed some really god awful lease that keeps them there through 2027.
Really?
Yeah. Whoever holds the lease has told them they would let them get out of it or whatever. The Rays are they are always going to be a small market team unless you either get a better stadium or they go somewhere else. Personally, I think they're going to go somewhere else pretty soon. I think so, huh? I think so.
Well, they have $72 million for the Marlins, kind of tied. The Baltimore's spent $300,000 more than them, so 72.7 for Baltimore, 72.4 for Miami, and 60 for Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
Eugene, Tampa Bay is spending $60 million. The Red Sox are spending $223 million, almost four times.
Yeah.
What they're spending. Do you feel like there should be a hard cap in baseball to make things more even?
And it's only if the players will go for it. So you've got to have the players be on board with that.
Negative.
Yeah. No. So I don't think you're going to have that.
The players aren't. I mean, no, absolutely not. You pay me as much as possible all the time.
Yeah. The luxury tax thing was a great idea
way of trying to make amends with it, to try to make it work a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely not seeming to be the end it all, be it all solution to baseball's problems in this sense. And you have teams that the way baseball always rationalizes this is it kind of can create villains and heroes, right?
Right.
So your Red Sox and your Yankees can be the villains that are spending so much freaking money.
Yep.
And they're also winners. You can have small market teams that can compete. The Astros are at 160 on here. So you have the Red Sox spending way more money than them. Pretty sure the Red Sox spent more money than them the last few years. But here we go. The Astros are in contention. The Cubs are actually the second on this team. So the Cubs are spending some money.
Yeah. At least the Astros have won a World Series the last 5 years. The Cubs have won a World Series in the last 5 years.
Right.
So, I mean, they're that middle market team. And to the Rays' credit, they've got smart people. I think this is going to be their year that they actually can do some. So they've got all the pieces. So the Rays have to have like that every five or six or 7 years, have that window where they can get, they have all of those players hit at the one time And I think this is going to be the year, because last year they won 90 games.
Mm-hmm.
So they won the same amount of games that the Braves did. They're just in a tougher, they were in a tougher division, obviously. They finished third. So if they had been in the East with us, they would have been tied with us for first.
So that's not so bad from a baseball perspective, because these teams can be in contention, even though they're not spending a ton of money. They can be in contention. So I'm not sure, even with that being said, if that's going to change that. Because you have that happen,
yeah.
It's not like the teams that are spending the most money are always winning.
No, but you got to spend some money if you're going to get that World Series. But
right now we're at about Braves are roughly $20 million under league average,
yeah,
for salary.
Yeah.
And that will put us, so let me see. Let's go over the teams that are the Rangers, the Reds, the Brewers, the Diamondbacks, the Twins, the Indians, Tigers, Braves. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Jays, the Royals, Padres, Athletics, White Sox, Pirates, Orioles, Marlins, Rays are all the teams that are below league average on spending. So I guess it just depends on how these teams do. If these teams are in contention,
yep,
in September, you know, August, September, if they're still in the running, then baseball could look at it and say, well, do we really have a problem?
Yeah.
Because these teams are in contention. If your top teams, which are the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Dodgers, Giants, Nationals, Cardinals, Astros, Angels, Mets, Mariners, Rockies, and Phillies, if they're the only teams that are kind of in the running towards the end and you start to see something that's a trend, then I think that maybe baseball will look into, no, you know what? Let me change that. Let me change that. Nothing. Baseball will never look into this if the players have to,
yeah,
have a say in it.
No.
Because why would you not want to get paid, right, as much money as humanly possible?
Exactly.
So let me scratch that. So, and I've just rendered the last 10 minutes of our show useless.
That's you okay.
At that point.
That's all right. No, I like to where you're going. He's got to like where you're going for.
For argument's sake, I would say hard caps usually tend to make things a little bit even, but I would have to look at that. I would have to actually look at those numbers to see if that's actually the case.
Right.
Because a lot of times we might think it, and it's an easy summation to kind of come to that. Well, you spend more money, you can be a better team.
Right.
But it doesn't always work out like that, you know?
Yep. Very true. All right. So you want to wrap this up with our division winners and
absolutely
World Series?
Let's do it. Which you got some predictions here for us.
For National League East, I've got Phillies.
Okay.
For Central, I've got Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And the West, I've got the Dodgers. And my wild card is Washington Nationals.
Okay.
And for American League, I've got the Yankees, the Indians in the Central, AL West, the Astros, and my wild card team being Tampa Bay Rays.
Wow. Let me tell you something here. If Tampa Bay stays competitive at $60 million payroll. Goodness, man. I mean, this whole episode goes out the water.
Yep. I agree. So I'm just going to go with the Dodgers again. So I'm hoping that Dodgers versus Astros, and I'm hoping third year is the charm and they'll actually pull it out and win. So I like Dave Roberts.
I would like to see the Dodgers.
I like Dave Roberts.
Get a W.
I wouldn't mind him winning.
So any final Braves, you said 83-79, right?
83-79. I don't even have them going to the playoffs.
Wow. Well, we'll see what happens with that.
Yep.
This is Reggie ATL. Check us out. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Sports Talk, Eugene Morton. See you later.